The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
What's up, guys? What is MSRP that you save $3,000? Actually, you average over $3,000 in savings off MSRP when you use TrueCar. Manufacturer suggested retail price. They suggest what you should pay? Nah, man. You got to get TrueCar. TrueCar dealer is going to show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home, of course. How do you know if your true price is a great price? Because TrueCar shows you what all the other people that paid for that same car that you want, what they paid. And your certified dealers, they know this. True price, TrueCar, save time, save money. You never overpay. TrueCar, I put my name on this for real. And as soon as I get enough scratch to get my new car, I'm going right to TrueCar. True price, that's what's up. List price, dealer price. You know, they spend most of the money that they charge you for is like for service and stuff you had nothing to do with. But hey, you got to get with TrueCar. You get done right. They hook you up. TrueCar, my friends. Some features not available in all states. TrueCar.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want a battle, it's either that you will or you won't.
Hey, you know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face. Ah!
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man.
More Stories Podcast. I'm with Theo Vaughn, who I love,
Gang.
He has his own podcast, which I don't even know the name of your podcast.
Yeah, it's called This Past Weekend.
We didn't even talk about This Past Weekend, and boy,
we didn't get to it.
What a hole in one! I'm proud of you. Two holes in ones, and you're golfing in South Korea. It's the More Stories Podcast. Theo Vaughn is, I think, right now my favorite comedian, and you came on my radar because I saw our buddy Paul Toogood's, that's his actual name, T-O-O, Good. His name is Toogood.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, I bet, for him.
I don't think he feels pressure. He's just British, getting around. If he was older, you'd think he used to be in The Clash. Like, he used to be in The Clash, and people go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
he's like handsome, and he's like thick handsome.
Yeah, he's Ray Winston, like bloody hell. Fuck it. So I saw you in the teaser for the documentary, The Human Human Comedy?
Yeah,
and
Human Comedy.
You just stick out. Like, there's three, you're in it three times. And the first thing is the jokes. I think it's Dale Hughley, and I don't know when this thing's going to be out or whatever. And he made The Art of Rap, which you guys should go watch. He's just a fucking
great. Yeah, and they made Dying Laughing.
Dying Laughing.
Which is on Netflix, you can see.
Yeah, 160 comics, and I was
omitted. You're in that.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm not. It's like when you get a script, they go, you want to read for this? To play the neighbor? It's Fred Savage, your sister's ass,
yeah.
A pair of dick dog balls. And you're like, how do I become dick dog balls? Why am I reading it after these guys get attached? Is that where I am? So Paul did a documentary, The Human Comedy, and it's just watching the 3-minute teaser, it fucking shook me, man.
Yeah.
Did you see
me
it?
Me too. It was the best teaser that I've ever seen for anything.
Why do you think it is? Like, why did both of us get affected like that?
I think they cared about it. I noticed from Paul that I genuinely believe that he cares. Like, I think he probably, never once when I'm around him do I feel like he's trying to do, like he's worried about making money. I feel like he's worried about making art. And I think that that's what comes through.
How long did you speak with him?
We've had probably 3 or 4 lunches together. Paul and I have spent a good bit of time together. We're actually pretty, I would certainly consider him a friend.
Yeah, I love the man. Like, no harm will come to that man's head if I could ever help it. He at one point, I mean, he filmed me for, like, if I put it all together, like 4 days.
Wow.
And at one point, I'm like, I actually was so...
Thought he's homosexual?
No. I was so gaslit and so fucked up in my life. We're driving up to Oxnard to do Levity Live, and he's in the passenger seat. It was a beautiful drive along the coast. And at one point, I'm just talking and talking and talking. Because if there's any pauses, I film. And I just look at the camera, I go, are you filming me going mad? But I was really serious.
I'm sure.
And he's like, no, darling, it's great. And then I was at his house for like 4 hours. And it, like, but he cares about me. And you know he cares about you.
Yeah, I feel that. I think that's part of it, too. I feel that he cares about me.
You know? Yeah. And in that trailer, what struck me was truth. And I was called the truest comic by Sean. They do Don't Tell Stand Up. And he goes, his girlfriend, he goes, Anna, he goes, her brother thinks you're the greatest comic of all time. And I just looked at him, and like years ago, I would have went, what about you? Like that fucking shit that we all do when we're dicks. But I just looked at him, and it must have been rattling around in me, because he goes, you're the truest.
Mm.
And I was like, I'd way rather be the truest than the greatest. And so then I saw the documentary, and I'm like, there's a lot of true motherfuckers out there. Like Chris Rock is the barometer of truth. I love black people, but I hate, like, holy shit, yeah. White people didn't know that. And like said, and like Eddie, my preconceived notions of other comics, like flipped on their heads. And then other comics, I'm like, there's a guy in that teaser who goes, is an Indian guy, he goes, I reject the notion of celebrity entirely. I'm like, you're in a documentary, dick.
Yeah.
Like, you're full of shit. Yeah. Then it's you at a meet and greet. I'm watching you fucking do a meet. You don't have to do a meet and greet. Like, you're full of shit.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, even just talking about like, there's so much more celebrity these days, I think, with comedians than there is comedian a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And that's very scary. Bill Burr strikes me, and look, I'm not coming from, you know, I'm just my own thoughts, but Bill Burr is, I feel like, still just a comedian, I feel like, every time I see him.
Or I think that's how we'd want you to see him.
Yes, and I think other guys, they come in, and like if I see Chappelle at the Comedy Store and stuff, it's more, there's definitely more celebrity surrounding him than to me, and this is just my perception.
No, I actually agree entirely, and what you're saying is, look, it's all about the truth, and on my podcast, I won't let anybody shit talk a comic, and yeah. I'll edit it out, and I won't shit talk a comic.
Yeah.
So you're safe.
Yeah, and I idolize both of those men. I mean, I think that they're. But I walked in on, you know, I was sitting in the green room at the Comedy Store one night, and Chappelle and Neil Brennan were talking about just comedy and what was going on, and Chappelle was just kind of not lamenting, but he was just talking about like, I need more, like, am I not having enough real life experiences?
You're not. You live in a fucking farm, Dave. What are you talking about?
Well, to be able to turn those onto the stage. Him and Neil were having that conversation. And also, I think, and Neil was kind of like, well, you know, you're, you know, at a certain level of heightness of celebrity. And if you embrace that and that becomes part of your life, then you probably miss out on, you know, having some regular experiences that people have.
What's fascinating about Chappelle is that level of celebrity, there's no product.
Yeah.
There's no movie. There's no product. There's no sitcom. It's him. He's that famous. And I mean this as a compliment because I knew Dave when he was like 16 when he first came to New York.
Right.
And he told like the most incredible stories about his brother putting him in the dryer. And like, and I'll never, he was 17. He goes, and when I came out, and then he didn't say anything after that. He just stood there. And it's like all the comedy that happened in the audience's head.
Yeah.
I'm like, this 17-year-old just fucking taught me something. And when I came out,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, his hair was all fucking out the hair. And somebody in the other side of the room is thinking something else.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's thinking he's covered in socks or he's, you know, he's got a lint.
I don't know if he actually said it. I don't know what he or if he said anything after that.
Yeah.
It was that brilliant. And then the Chappelle show happens and it's just off the charts. And they get away with murder because they did it in such a brilliant way that you... The name of the family are the niggers,
yeah.
And they have to air it. Like, censors will kibosh anything that affects sponsors, but it obviously was a situation where the sponsors are like, no, this is the audience we want.
Right.
Like the blind KKK guy.
Oh, yeah, so good.
And like the Rick James stories and Charlie Murphy just telling fucking stories. It was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lightning in a bottle.
And then he goes away and his celebrity becomes the fact that he went away.
And it becomes lore. Yeah, he almost has this lore element. And he's still like, he'll get up there and do it all, though.
I think
his celebrity isn't him making it. His celebrity is...
We made it.
Yes.
We applied it to him.
Whereas other comedians, it's more like pushed down you.
Yes, exactly. You know? Like on Vanity Fair goes, these are the 10 comics to watch.
Yeah,
you're like, Will Ferrell's not a comic and he's already been in Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Like Tina Fey Jose's not a stand-up. Like, a comic's a comic.
Yeah, two of these people are newcomers. Yeah.
And
yeah.
three of them are actors.
Yes.
Like, Bill Murray's not a comic.
Those
like,
lists are so disconnected, man.
So with Chappelle, like, we've applied the celebrity. That's a good point. He is the celebrity. Make no doubt about it. If he pumped gas in Akron, Ohio, they'd find his ass.
Yeah.
Like, when I did Jerry Maguire, I'm looking at Tom Cruise like, if you were in fucking China,
he couldn't get away.
They'd find you. Like, we're talking about on your, about, what is it, last weekend?
This past weekend.
This past weekend, the Theo Von podcast we just finished. Like, pitchers, they'll find your ass. Yeah. They will. You throw 101 at a community college in buttfuck Illinois, they will find you, period. Yeah. And with Chappelle, yeah. it's like, he's a star. And when he's that famous, when they go, you saw, they go fucking crazy. And he is on stage, he's the best. There's no product.
Right.
The product is the person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my life.
Yeah.
And this is all a positive, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, I think it goes back to a little bit of, like, probably comedians of the past. Where, and I don't know if they have it, like, so many comedians now, it's just so forced on people. You know, it feels so forced. It's like, were they really that funny, or immediately they're just a star because, you know, they go through the Hollywood wheel.
But in the club, that's what the club is, the truth.
It's the equalizer, yeah.
The club's the truest. And when he fucking walks out on stage and that place goes crazy, that's that.
Yeah.
That's true. That's where we are. That's where they are, you are, that's where he is. That's a fact. Whether you love that motherfucker, whether you hate him, whether it's Dice,
yeah.
whether it's John Witherspoon who come out at the Laugh Factory yeah. and they go nuts, and you're like, and I'm like, fuck, here he comes. And he could do the same shit every, you know, I'm so sick of OJ, I started drinking buttermilk. I'm like, I don't care. Like, there's just some dudes that come out on stage.
Yeah.
Aziz don't get it. Unless it's an Aziz show.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock.
Oh, I think it's, I think like, he's Amy one Schumer that's more don't forced.
Get it. Amy no. Schumer don't get it. Like, there's just, and this is not a knock on any comic. The listener, my listeners know, like, I won't, this is just facts.
Yeah.
There's people that walk on stage and the place goes fucking sideways. It's John Panette. Never did a TV show. Never fucking just walk. Oh my God, I was at the buffet. And the fucking, you were in orbit the minute he started talking.
Really?
Don Gavin, I did St. John and St. Thomas with. Older hospital? Than me. Yes, on Santa Monica. We went to the island of, the island of St. John, the island of St. Thomas. And I opened.
Is it U.S. territory?
British? I'm not sure. But now that the speed bumps have been laid out.
John Panette.
No, I don't give a fuck. Don Gavin. This guy walks out on stage and he's from Boston. He goes, thank you for asking. Bedlam. Clears his throat. He's got his hand on his belt. Thank you for asking. He looked like Ted Williams. Thank you for asking. This suit is from new catalog Sears. Or, you know, Sears. Sure. Like, just Bedlam. That's what they got in him. That fucking vibration.
Yeah.
Chappelle got it, man.
Oh, undeniable. I mean, he can sit there and hold people's attention. I mean, he'll stay at the Comedy Store sometimes till like 4 a.m. But yeah, some people I think are just have a, you know, get infected, or they get graced with, or they can't help but become the celebrity, whatever it is. But then, you know, I think Bill Burr, for some reason, for me, stands out in a different direction.
Standing out to me now, too. Go ahead.
Like, you may know, and you'll have a better perspective, because my perspective, I don't really have as much perspective as much as I do just more inquiry. But he doesn't seem like he's about the celebrity at all. You know, he might seem a little bit infected by it, like it's more of a burden to him. But he seems like just a comedian. Every time I see him, it's just like, oh, there's.
I feel he would go, well, he's a celebrity. What?
Yeah.
I don't think he has any idea that. He's had a meteoric rise in like the past 2-3 years. Like, I'll be in the middle of, I'll be in Spokane, Jersey, but they'll go, I fucking love Bill Burr. And I'm like, I want to go, you realize the same motherfucker you slept on for the last 10 years. He's always been like this, you know?
Yeah.
But he obviously, I got to listen to whatever he's been doing the last, because obviously there's a tuning fork he's hit.
Yeah.
Because he's always, to me, been hilarious and a great a first round draft pick comic.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, man, with like, you know, he does like a couple shows and he's got like the cartoon, F is for Family. And he's in movies with like Pacino and Walken and stuff. But no, I don't think anybody in the audience has any fucking idea that shit exists. It's him. That tuning fork vibrating inside of him.
Well, I think you're going to get the truth with him. You feel like you're still going to get some truth. And I think right now there's people are wanting truth more than ever. Leno was on, I think it was Colbert. Bill Burr was on Colbert. And
Leno?
Yeah, I think so.
You said Leno was on Colbert.
Yeah. And it wasn't. That wasn't it. It was
okay.
Bill Burr was on Colbert.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's fine, baby. Keep going. Yeah. Big Mama's got your back, Kizzy. Oh. Nobody knows it's my real name.
Oh, man. I would love to hug a big black girl sometimes.
Oh, well, come on. Go talk about Burr on Colbert.
And please. They were talking about political stuff, and Burr was saying, I come to L.A., and I think I'm a liberal, but you get out here and people think that they just own the world, or that they're better than everybody just because they live close to the water. There was something about that just with me was like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, he but just gets it.
Fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of people will be afraid to say that. A lot of people will be afraid to, like, even.
But there's nothing of insult. There's nothing.
I agree.
And it's not true.
Right.
And he's true.
He's true.
His perception of that is entirely true. Yes. This is only my opinion.
Yeah.
Because my next podcast, I'm going to take a joke. The next one, I'm going to, like, entire podcast, not more stories.
Yeah.
And break the joke down as to, like, this is more brilliant than you think type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. With categories like comedy that happens off camera, mm-hmm. nonsense, run-on sentences.
Sex,
sure. But, like, audiences love a run-on sentence. It's not even that funny.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's how you know the thing in the mic and the day, because I'm trying to do the Home Depot. And they're like, yay, he finished it. It's like a fucking trick. But it with Bill Burr, like, you know, he's got the accent.
There's no tricks.
He doesn't give a fuck. You know he's out of fucks the moment he speaks, right?
And he seems like he's burdened to be there a little
bit.
Oh,
God. Well, that's very Boston, too. Like, Louis C.K. used to go, the guys in Boston, you get good news, and it's looked like they got kicked in the balls. Like, oh, good for you. Hey, Louis won the fucking lottery. God bless him. And then Jimmy Tingle's got the thing like cop goes, you know why I pulled you over? Oh, you were on the Tonight Show last night. You were hilarious. What are you doing driving this shit box? It's just Boston. But Bill going like, I thought I was, I didn't see the bit, but like liberal. Then you come out here, it's like people want to save the whales and they think they got more import than you because they live near the water.
Yeah, and that was it. And the place just went nuts.
But I didn't even do it. I know that was bullshit how I just did it, but it's like I can totally see him say, like it's the framing of his truth and perception.
Yeah.
This is a trippy combo, but this audience follows us for real.
Oh, yeah. I don't think. It's just we're talking about.
Or they can get out.
Celebrity and comedian and how, like, now it's like.
I'm talking about truth. It's interesting because you brought up the celebrity thing, and I don't know any comic, real comic, that entertains. We all want to be celebrities. And these people that go, like, fucking Cobain. Kurt Cobain and like Tom York at Radiohead, like, well, we never did it to get famous. Go fuck yourself. Then don't put up a flyer.
Yeah.
Then don't put a flyer on the light post at your second gig. Like, we're here again.
It's a good point.
Kurt Cobain had a fucking notebook filled with like how to be successful. You know.
Yeah, he was creating his own syrup. I mean, he was making his own syrup and then
don't
was just
hire
he ended
Steve
up drowning in it.
Don't hire that producer who you know is the goddamn hitman.
The killer.
Yeah.
That John Alasia, don't hire that hitmaker.
Don't hire
Perlman or whatever, that boy that tried to fuck those children.
You don't know that. Maybe you do. You get Jerry Lee Lewis, you get the killer now.
You get the killer, boy. You know Jerry Lee Lewis from Louisiana.
Yes, I do.
I used to work on a farm near Vidalia, Louisiana, and that's where he's from that area, Faraday and Vidalia.
So like Chappelle, there's no product. Bill Burr, the product is the truth. Because Chappelle, to me, it's not truth.
He's like a planet, kind of.
He's his own. Yeah, that's a brilliant. Wow.
But that's not in an orbit. He's like, oh, where's this planet at?
No, he's a planet because of the gravity.
Yes.
There you People go. He pulls. Like in basketball, mm-hmm. It's a scouting analytic. My buddy Aaron showed me, because we do the America's Lakers podcast, the only official, like, actual Lakers that they sponsor.
For the Los Angeles Lakers.
And he goes, he's got gravity. You know, when you don't have the ball, how many motherfuckers are leaning towards
looking at you?
And leaning over at you, taking a step at you, even though the other guy with the ball is
that's
going to the rack.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's gravity.
Yeah, sometimes I was like, I don't even care if this guy scores as long as I know where this guy
is. Where's LeBron?
Yeah.
Like, if James Harden has the ball. James Harden without the ball has three guys around James Harden. Same with LeBron, same with Steph, same with all these cats. So like Chappelle's got this gravity, but Chappelle's, it's not particularly like Bill Burr is just truth.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about when I sucked a kid's dick when I was 10. Like, that's just truth. Like, I'm the only one doing what I do. I know that.
And that's kind of putting somebody's dick in your mouth at 10. It's not really sucking a dick, is it?
It tasted like pennies, so I'll take your word for it. I didn't like it. I like getting it. I like getting it so much, I did it longer to him, so he'd have to do it longer to me.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I remember being under Summer a cover one time and just touching my buddy's ribs for a long time. And I do, man.
His ribs?
Yeah.
We were talking about sucking dick. How'd you get the ribs?
Because I didn't suck any dick, so the closest I can get to that is really touching this boy's ribs for a while. And I remember my brother then came under the blanket, and then everybody... I remember this is the craziest moment I ever had, now that we're talking about it, dude. It's almost like a little bitty Bermuda Triangle, but upstairs in our apartment was me touching one boy's ribs, him touching my brother's ribs, and then my brother touching our ribs, all of us touching each other's ribs at the same time under this blanket and being naked.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound weird to the listener and to you. That's one of the most beautiful stories anybody's ever shared with me, because what the listener doesn't see is it was affection. And yeah, you were naked and started with me talking about blowjobs.
Yeah.
But everything was still. Everybody was still. And everything in your childhood was too loud, too close, too often, man. The rules changed. And there was like, I got my hand. There was nothing gay going on. It wasn't like... And then your brother was a source of fucking...
He snuck in, and he had browner skin than us, too. And so that kind of made it, took it to like a...
Exotic?
Did. I was like, damn, is my brother from Africa or something? He wasn't.
It was tender. It wasn't gay. It was like, I'm being serious. It was like, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was, this is how life, not with, you know, a bunch of kids touch each other's ribs, but this feeling is how I should feel at bedtime every night. But I don't ever feel this feeling. You should have seen your face when you just went, I just touched his ribs.
Yeah, I guess it was some connection, man. And I remember just feeling how warm somebody else's body felt. And I'd never really touched anybody else's body, really. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, maybe getting a hug here, a hug there, but you don't touch anybody else's ribs, really. That's intimate.
You tell the truth, like your truth on stage, like, you know, in the teaser, going back to Paul Tugut's documentary, The Human Comedy, D.L. Hughley goes, we live in a world where people aren't very truthful. And then the next thing is you on stage going, I said hello to a guy, and he said no.
Yeah.
And I went, I paused it. We were at a coffee shop, Paul and I. I just paused it, and I just went, I didn't say anything, which is rare for me. And I just went, well, hey, that really happened. That happened to him. I know what happened to him. Where did that happen?
Somewhere in New York City by a tall building. And I think it was over
you don't know what funny, you realize how funny that was, what you just said?
You know where I'm talking about?
In New York City by a tall building.
Yeah.
It's a kind of an island of fucking skyscrapers, man.
Yeah.
The shortest build, there's no one, you don't realize how fucking funny, are you fucking with me?
Nuh-uh.
Wow, you're funnier than you think. In New York City by a tall building. You don't think that's funny?
I mean, that's where it was.
Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cesternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snubbed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
You know what makes More Stories the best podcast? I tell you the truth. I had erectile dysfunction. I talked about it. Let me tell you something. I took a blue pill that began with a V, and then I found out it came off of patent like 2 months ago. I'm like, gee, thanks. Flushing, you know what that means? It means going to the bathroom nonstop. I saw blue. No bueno. It's not old guys in bathtubs like, hey, it doesn't work on me. Look, I'm 47 years old. I'm young. I'm virile. No in-person doctor visit, not anymore. Hims. You go to Hims, forhimms.com, forhims.com. One-stop shopping. Hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, for men. And let me tell you something. I'm feeling good. Like, I'm back. I feel real good. And that's the truth. Hey, erectile without the dysfunction? Come on, man. Hims. ForHims.com. Try Hims for a month today. It's only $5. $5. They're going to get you started for $5 while the supplies last. See website for full details. ForHims.com. This would cost you hundreds. I went to get a prescription for this stuff, not ForHims.com, another one that doesn't begin with a V, $600. I'm like, eh, no thanks. ForHims.com/MOHRED. More, my last name, ED as an erectile dysfunction. I don't care. I got it fixed. You can too. ForHims.com/MOHRED. MOHRED. $5. Let's go. Get it.
There's no analogy that can compare.
Yeah.
I was in the ocean by like a wet spot. I don't know. There's nothing I can compare it to.
Holy shit. I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
Wow.
It was by, you know where those guys go and play fantasy football? They play soccer at night, indoor soccer at night.
Chelsea Piers.
Yes.
By the way, not the tallest of buildings. I think it's three stories in that entire west side.
But it was a couple blocks over from that.
Well, yeah, it's a 4 mile island, you know, stem to stern there. Relax.
But I was walking over there and I said hello to a guy and he said no. And I was like, oh man,
these why'd people you say are real out here.
I don't know. I think I was just feeling lonesome and I hadn't seen anybody in like a block or two, you know?
It's interesting because when I feel lonesome, I don't say anything to anybody. I isolate bad.
Do you?
I get under the porch, man. I go way under the fucking porch. I go, like if I have a girlfriend or something, I'm like, let me tell you something, what's happening.
You're like
here.
Sounder, dude.
No, he dies.
Yeah, but he's...
I'm Sergeant Barnes from Platoon. Nothing killed Barnes, but Barnes. You understand me, assholes? Barnes been shot 6 times. Barnes ain't dead. You know what that means? Barnes ain't meant to die.
Dang.
Y'all talking about death? Y'all experts? Well, I like to hear about it, potheads. Y'all smoke this shit so it's escape from reality? I don't need this shit. I am reality.
Wow, man. That's
crazy. I ain't fucking Sounder. Fuck you.
But Sounder got hurt and went under the porch.
He fucking dies.
Yeah, but if you don't read the whole book, he doesn't.
I like your style, and I think you should. I think you have 3 bits so far in this episode that you don't realize you have.
Yeah,
God, you're funny.
I'll take them.
But when you get lonely, you say hi to people.
Yeah, I think these days I notice that a lot of my loneliness comes, especially if I don't get a reflection of myself from other people, because my brain will start making me think that I'm a bad person.
But hold on, but your brain thinks that before the reflection.
My brain thinks that if I don't. But if I go out...
No, your brain thinks that before you go out.
Yes.
So what you want to see is a positive reflection from somebody to counteract what your brain already thinks.
Or at least a fair reflection.
But the fair reflection is not truthful.
But the fair reflection, if I go out and I get at least a vibe from somebody, you know, like, oh, this guy's being this way, this guy's being that way, at least then I'm getting something that I trust more than just the voice in my head a lot of times that's going to say, oh, you're not good. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, we might be.
With two different results. It's interesting. You fucking fascinate me, Theo. You had a hard fucking childhood. I was going to give you the thing we were talking about.
I think I was just, I don't know what it was. I was just lonesome, man. I was just lonesome, and like you said,
well,
you're
born lonesome, too.
Yes, like I was born lonesome.
Hold on. I got to get all this shit out of my notebook. What I do is, man, if I just called this life coach, I'd probably be a billionaire, because I'll bury Tony Robbins in his own room. You got to fill out a questionnaire for him. Like, and then when I was 18, I tried to commit suicide, and they go, somebody in aisle 3 tried to commit suicide. Yeah. And he goes, oh, somebody here tried to commit suicide.
It's like a leap of faith.
Yeah, but it's like, you saw me talking to Nick earlier.
Yeah.
I see you, dude. So it's like, I feel blank, one word emotion only, because write as long as you want, but nobody ever gets this right. That's what I do, is I'll ask you 5 yes or no questions, mm-hmm. and then I rewrite this sentence and I give it back to you. Mm-hmm. And it's more like I just change the prescription in your eyeglasses. Like, you get scared. We were talking on your podcast, Theo Vaughn, about you just being frightened a lot. Like, you get really uncomfortable. I'm really happy you say it on stage. Because I think transparency is our greatest gift. Time is our greatest gift, our biggest prison.
Mm.
Greatest invention, biggest prison, greatest gift, presence, time. And when you're on stage with time, taking up theirs, giving yours, and vice versa, if you could be transparent and go, I'm just uncomfortable right now because that's how I normally feel, they all laugh. But you're telling them the truth. So they're almost laughing. Like, you rock the boat a little, what they're comfortable with. I hate these comics like, I really fucking got them uncomfortable. That's not your job. Your job isn't to get them uncomfortable. Your job is to tell the truth. And if it's an uncomfortable story, you better find the fucking funny little checkpoints along the way to keep them within the margins, is how I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
I want them to know that I care, I think.
They know you care. You can't hide how much you care and what a gentle soul you are. I'm telling you, that teaser blew my mind. I'm just watching you. And the other thing you said was the storm coming, bruh, to a driver you had. And then you said you never seen your mom laugh. And you didn't make a show of it. You weren't modeling. You weren't like look off camera and look real fucking sad. It was so matter of fact that it kicked me in my fucking nuts, man. Like, it fucked me up. And I was brokenhearted. And I knew you were brokenhearted. But you were being truthful to Paul, who you love. I know Paul loves you.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And it was this weird vortex of like truth, like bing 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 bing, where I'm like, I gotta go talk to this dude. You don't know if you ever saw your mom laugh.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny. I mean, around that time, I think that's around the time, I guess, when I was realizing that, you know, like that my mom and I never laughed together, you know, like we never
around, like, the time of the documentary.
Yeah, like I would just, you know, I've been, you know, I mean, I got, yeah, I mean, we just have never laughed together. And I realized that how much value there is in that, and how, like, you know, when you do that, it can make people feel closer. So,
of course, I mean, but you know, but
I wish I could do that more sometimes, and well, I can maybe in the future. But it's just hard.
You can now, like, call. You can.
Yeah, but we don't do it. It's like we don't.
No, you. I'm not speaking for her. You. You absolutely can do it.
Yeah,
you can do it. You should do it. You know, you should do it. But if you don't do it, you get to feel shitty before you hit the streets lonely and look at reflections in people's faces.
Yeah.
So it just keeps filling itself in.
Well, I guess I'm afraid, I guess.
Here's that word again.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, or feeling about it, you know, I think I don't know what it is, a fear, I don't know what it is, but I guess part of me is like, you know, that I use like laughter, you know, especially when I was young, to make myself feel okay, or if people were laughing around me, then I knew that they couldn't, you know, hate me and laugh at the same time. And I feel like maybe if I make my mom laugh, that it's like I'm giving her the last thing that I have left, you know, that's just mine.
I think that's really beautiful, that now that I'm, you said now that I'm feeling, you said now that I'm thinking, now that I'm, you were going to say now that I'm thinking about it, and you corrected yourself, now that I'm feeling about it.
Yeah, I can't think anymore
that's what's up. Like, that's what I've been looking for in other comics my whole life, now that I'm feeling about it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you laugh. We all, like, I did it, you did it.
Yeah, we needed that. That was our thing. That was what we had.
The way I describe, yeah, and the way I've described it is, that's how I got everybody looking out the same windshield. Like, you got to sit real close in the front seat, and if we're all laughing, we all see the same thing. You do, yeah. Little girl does a show in front of the TV holding a hairbrush, lip syncs, and we're like, oh, it's great. That's, everyone's right out her windshield.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, there's a motherfucker on your blind spot. You don't know where that guy went. You dropped him off. He never circled back.
Yeah,
somebody's way out in front, somebody's in a car coming the other way, and then our whole lives, we just try to cobble our lives together to get everybody in one frame again. And so you said you never saw your mom laugh, and you guys never really laughed together, but your fear is her laughing. You don't have to call your mom to make her laugh. You can just call your mom. And
yeah, I don't know if I don't feel like I have to call her to make her laugh, but I feel like I guess maybe and when I really, really get into it, I guess I'm a if I make her laugh, that I'm,
that's the end of the show.
Well, it's like I'm given, you know, like whatever cards I had, like I'm, it's the only thing that I have that's
yours,
just mine, because it's, you know, I needed
it,
I'm giving it away to my mom. And and I guess maybe the inside of me somewhere, there's like, you know, that you know, I hold her probably responsible or something sometimes because I don't feel good, or because I didn't feel good growing up. And if I give her, if I make her laugh, then it's me, like, you know, giving.
But you also hold her responsible for the feel good. You know, she's the, you were telling me on your podcast about, like, you guys were so broke, you got 2-liter sodas for your birthday.
Yeah.
And you had to, and you guys exploded them in the street. Instead of drinking soda, like grape soda, 2 liters.
Yeah.
You shook them up and sprayed them all over each other.
Yeah.
It was an $8 birthday, three 2-liter bottles. And your mom, I go, was she pissed? And you're like, no. She was like, just take it outside. It's great. So you know that she had joy watching you have joy.
Yeah.
And you can't explain that. But that's a real deep feel good, man. And like to show her your cards, that last card that you give strangers every night for money like a whore.
Yeah.
That's what you withhold from the number one person. She's still there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all of us. That's fucked up.
Right. Know? No, I know you get it. I know you're coming from a place that you get it. You know, and I don't even know why it is. I don't know.
I think it's so terrifying if she laughed. It's fear of success and almost a sideways door where the deliveries go that you don't ever see. Like, when do the fucking pork chops get to the restaurant? You never see like that delivery. It's almost a, I don't mean perverse, like it's perverted, but in the true sense, it's a perverse protection.
Yeah.
Of a fear of success. Because if you make your mom laugh, I don't think you can process what you would do with that joy. It'd be the most overwhelming thing on earth.
Yeah, it would be a dynamic that I'm not used to.
Who's your favorite Muppet?
I just realized recently it's Fozzie. You know, he's mixed and he ended up being a comedian.
Get the fuck out of my house, Fozzie. Get out. Get out. You, Theo Vaughn, get Fozzie. The fuck out of my house. I heard what you said.
You know how hard it is for a mixed bear to make it?
What do you mean he's mixed?
In Hollywood?
Who's that, Jim Brown?
He could have been easily, dude.
I know, actually. Jim Brown made the rounds.
Easily could have been, yeah. Jim Brown made the rounds.
He threw a lady off a balcony and nobody cared.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
She must have been a real pain in the ass if Jim Brown's. It was only two stories. Leave her alone.
Dude, it's
Westwood. There's a lot of lawn. He threw a lady off a fucking balcony.
It's amazing, man. And they still put him on television a lot of times.
Well, why do you think Fozzie's mixed?
Oh, he has to be.
Why?
Look at the skin tone, the style.
He's a fucking puppet, first of all.
The style. Bow tie and the
he's
hat.
Dressed like John Witherspoon.
Yeah, well, look.
Hey.
Who's mixed? John Witherspoon was at least mixed.
Well, of course. We're all mixed. We all got something in the woodpile.
Well, I'm about to spit in that Hectiker 23, whatever it's called. Genetics. Ancestry. Because I want to know, man. I'm trying to quit smoking first so I don't get any cigarette in there, but I'm trying to fucking take that shit.
No, you got your life insurance coming up is what I'm fucking reading.
Really?
No? You don't have your life insurance coming up?
Oh, nuh-uh. I mean, I might.
I do that. I was chewing tobacco, and they go, well, your blood test came back with tobacco. I'm like, well, I don't smoke. And they're like, do you chew tobacco? I'm like, no, we're going to have to do this again. So they had to fucking quit chewing tobacco, but I can't.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the longest I've gone without chewing right now since I've been with you.
Yeah.
And
really, you don't strike me as that guy at all.
So then something happened where, like, I can't say it on the air. But no, my blood, it came out clean.
Yeah.
And it's like a $4 million policy. Mm. And I go, well, here, that's good news that I'm actually worth more dead than alive. Like, I was actually worth more. If I died, my family gets more than I'm actually worth. And then I think about all those murder shows, like, it was about the life insurance.
What about that can
opener? $3,000. Like, well, you paid one guy $5,000 to fucking whack him. You bought a fucking necklace and a car, you goddamn white trash. Hey, what? Like $33,000, you're going to kill somebody?
But dude, in a small town growing up for $9,000, I'd hide a motherfucker in some dirt, you know?
I asked in the wrestling
room. It's a lot of money when you're poor.
At Palisades, I asked the coach, I said, hey, Aldo, like, who in this room, if you said, like, I need this had to happen, this has to happen. Like, it just has to happen, and it can never come back to me. And the next day, the person goes, all done. Who's the one that when they say all done, you know it's all done, and you never bring it up again?
Wow.
And he goes, I'll tell you tomorrow, and later at night. And I had an answer in my head.
And he died?
No. It's somebody, like, if you asked to kill somebody for you, like, it would just be done, and you never worry. And there's this girl, Lily. She's a freshman. And there's just something about her. She's like, she's being like fucking Kill Bill.
Yeah.
She's a great wrestler. And that's what I had in my head. Mm. And then he just texted me like 2 a.m. I look at my phone. It's all, he like changed the size of his font. And it was like, Lily. And I wrote back, yes. Like cold blooded, man. I wouldn't kill somebody because I'm too afraid of getting caught.
Yeah.
That's probably the only reason.
You would get caught.
Nah, I take umbrage to that young man.
You would definitely get caught. You would accidentally
I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad you feel that way, buddy.
That's that reverse psychology. That's that murderer psychology.
Because you're not smart enough to bleach the bottom of the drain. That's where the luminol gets almost everybody, my man.
Really?
Yeah, the bathtub, they spray the luminol, then they unscrew your drain, and they turn it upside down, like, oh, there's blood spatter on this. You're like, I had my period out of my nose with the thing. Ah! You start hitting yourself in the head like Rain Man. If you had entrance music, what would it be? Like, I know you're walking to the cage because what song just fucking kicked in?
It would be probably Purple Rain.
That's tight.
Or that Ultimate Warrior theme music that he used
to have. That's his, though. That's his.
Oh, that's his. Okay. If
Purple Rain's a great one. You know why? Because I got a list of tunes in my head that are slow, but nothing is harder. Like, Purple Rain's the slowest, hardest shit. Fame by Bowie. Like,
you could fuck or bury somebody to Purple Rain.
Fame. Oh, can you imagine a fucking Scorsese movie where they kill somebody? Fame.
Fame. Oh, fame.
Is it any wonder?
Like, I never, and the blood just shoot.
I never dug a fucking hole before. I'll dig a fucking hole.
Yeah.
Like the burial and the drive back through like the Jersey Turnpike.
Dude, first.
I'll reject you first. Wow. Like all of Amnesiac.
And this blood just hits the.
Mine.
That's crazy how great music was then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, dude, my first funeral.
So how many times have you died?
Not my own first one. I went
fit right in on the porch right there. Well, how many times? I was a grandma. Well, how many times have you died? Oh, okay.
I deserve another nap for that.
You can take a nap, baby. I'll set fire to the motherfucking bed while you're sleeping. I want that $33,000. My titties itch.
I want that Bulgari necklace.
Your first funeral.
First funeral I ever went to. So they had this man in our neighborhood died, this dude, Mr. Polito, and he...
Good. Italian, what's an Italian doing all the way in Louisiana?
Dude, I don't know. When I first rolled up in our neighborhood, he got in a fight with this bus driver, right? This dude named Milford.
And, black guy. Oh.
I don't know if Irish or just kind of real, you know, some type of blood disorder in his skin. But he...
I like how they're parallel to you. I don't know if he was Irish or he had a blood disorder.
Oh, he had top shelf liquor in his fucking plasma.
Oh, okay, I got you. Now
this
I understand
dude had
it.
Some fucking, he had a, you know, a fifth of Taka in his plasma probably. But he, they were fist fighting. Dude, he was fighting an 86-year-old man out in the street. And he threw this man into a fire, into a ditch fire.
Hold on.
Mr. Polito.
Ditch fire. What's your Twitter real quick?
At Theo Von, Theovon.
Okay.
And that ditch fire is basically, it is what it is, you know, two ingredients, ditch. Fuego, you know, and so
it was already up and running, like for trash. Or?
Oh yeah, burning trash, you know, or burning leaves. A lot of people would burn leaves, you know, rake everything out of your yard in the
drunk bus drivers.
Burn it, yeah. Well, this man Milford, dude, he threw this dude in, and Polito came out of that ditch fire at 86 years old, fucking arms ablaze and swinging, bro. And if you've seen a freaking, you know, senior citizen Italian fucking throwing fire hands, you haven't. I mean, that's a. That's a character Marvel's afraid to make, you know?
Isn't that a rival Sun song? Come out of the ditch, keep swinging.
Well, he died. Anyway, he fast forward, he died, and they buried him in his backyard, right?
Well, that's not creepy
to save
at all.
To get insurance money, so you still get them checks.
And wait, so, explain that to me. I didn't figure out how to.
Because if they don't know he's dead, you still get the insurance money.
Oh, so they didn't ever say, like, by the way, that guy that came out the ditch on fire?
Yeah, Polito, they didn't say that.
He expired on the cause of fire.
Yeah, they say he got well. So, he died.
Well, where is he? I'd like to talk to Mr. Polito.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Where is he?
And what they would do is then they would dress up a kid like a burn victim and put him in a bed, and people would go in and you could talk to him.
This happened in your neighborhood?
Yeah, but what happened for us was we went to the funeral. They buried him in the backyard. So, we're walking down the street, dude, and next thing you know, we're at this funeral sitting in the back, man, sitting at a funeral, and they buried this dude in the yard. And we used to play kickball back there and everything. And my buddy, they're like, do you want to say any words? You know, they're giving everybody flowers and stuff, and people were throwing flowers in. And my buddy, dude, who, you know, bless him, he said, people were saying prayers, and he said grace. He said, like, dinner grace, you know, like, God is great, God is good. God, we thank you for this food. And this man's just laying there.
Your buddy was a little slow?
He was quick enough.
Or was he against the grain?
No, he was not against the grain. He was basic speed for the area.
Watch me fuck up this funeral, man.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh, say can Check it out, man.
Dude.
Disrespect this fool.
My buddy Simon Rex does this funny thing where he goes.
I love Simon.
Simon's great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great guy, man. He's got the biggest heart. He's all heart. And
hot. He's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, he gets a lot. Just the ladies love him. But he tells his story about when he'll get on stage and do the New Year's Eve countdown, but he'll start counting up and fucking blow everybody's mind.
Wow.
It's like 1, 2, 3, and everybody's fucking loses their
mind.
That's
brilliant.
Pretty smart.
That's like when you were a kid and your dad's like, you want to hear a knock-knock joke? You play along, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Most kids, their dad comes up to them and goes, do you want a knock-knock joke? And you go, all right. And they go, all right, you start. And you go, knock-knock. They go, who's there? And you're like, what the fuck island am I on right now? My dad would do it. I just liked that he was talking to me. I would do it all the time.
Yeah.
Did you do cocaine with Daryl Strawberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not with him.
Alongside him.
Yeah, I did cocaine unbeknownst to Daryl Strawberry.
Well, I think most people have done cocaine that have done cocaine did it unbeknownst to Daryl Strawberry or Steve Howell or Doc Gooden. You know, I once smoked pot completely unbeknownst to Harry S. Truman.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Straw never knew about it.
I once had a root beer, and I'll be darned if it never crossed Jeff Gillooly's mind. I don't know how that happened. We talked about this on your podcast. And that was when you go, let me turn this off. You said, I might not be the brightest. I think you said bull and then bowl and then drawer. At least how that's how I wanted to hear it. You go, yeah. I might not be the brightest bull in the bowl drawer.
Yeah.
But I maybe just said bowl twice.
Bowl twice.
All right.
Yeah, I might not be the brightest bowl in the bowl drawer.
And then you go, you're trapped in a sentence. But I know you weren't trapped in a sentence. I know the construct, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I got obsessed with it because I realized that's the only scenario and sentence where you can make it wrong on purpose, and the person gets it every time. Like, I might not be the shortest hyena in the South Pacific, but, you know, yeah. It's like, well, oh, yeah, okay. He's admitting he's not that intelligent. Now, look.
That's a good one.
I might not be a grease paint on a grain of rice. Like, none of it makes sense, but it works every time. Now, I challenge you to just keep coming up with nonsense ones. It's harder than you think.
It's hard. Yeah, I might not be the biggest marinara stain on the donkey. You know?
No,
it's hard.
That's actually, you know what? But if you say it, I go, oh, wow, that's a good one, too. I'm like, no, it's not. He just made it up.
But they're like, oh, maybe that donkey came from Italy, and maybe this donkey, you know, he seemed like somebody that might know somebody that's been, you
know. That's the audience doing all the work.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
That's what we were talking about earlier. And that's great. Like you said, that guy said that, like, well, these pants, you know, this suit, yeah, the audience doing all the work. That's where you want to leave them.
Wait, this pants is...
No, when you said,
oh, wow.
Oh, Gavin, what's his name? Who got on stage? But when you said...
Thank you for asking. This is from a boutique called Sears.
Yeah.
Sears? All right.
So, but even more so, like Chappelle said, like you said, when he came out of the dryer.
Yeah. You know who did that for me once was Dane Cook was on at the Laugh Factory.
I was with him last night there.
I love him. And I'm telling you, man, the guy takes more shit from motherfuckers that don't know what they're talking about. You said something. I'm realizing it's the same YouTube clip I've quoted 4 times. You go, oh, you're doing Opie and Jimmy on XM? And you go, and I admire them. And admire is when someone's better than you. You say, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Admire is when somebody's better than you and you still like them.
That is fucking brilliant, man. That is the most brilliant. Look, Nick's laughing. That shit's amazing.
Well, it's like an old-fashioned thing. Like, people think they don't even have it anymore.
I really admire his work. Like, I know he's fucking better than me, but I still, instead of going like, man, fuck that guy.
Yeah, now it's like, fuck that guy.
What does he have that I don't have? Talent.
Yeah.
Talent, off the top of my head.
Story. He's got a fucking past.
But you ain't got, but nobody's got more talent than you. You have your own, your toolbox is yours. Like, nobody on earth can fuck with Theo Vaughn. I'm telling you straight up. Like when Ralphie used to say to me, man, I don't give a fat baby's dick, Jamar. I'll fuck with a dude at a family reunion in front of the potato salad. Like, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like when you're a kid and you go to fight, like what's right is right.
Yeah.
Like I don't give a fuck. He'd go, I'll bury the motherfucker at his own family reunion in front of his mama at the potato salad. That's what it was. I'm like, wow. And he would. And that's how I feel you are, like, with that, not like doing the dozens and
yeah,
shit, but
no.
Like what you say is so truthful and singular. Like, it's like just when you admire somebody, it's when you look up to them. They're better than you, but you still like them. I never would have landed on it. Usually I hate a bit because I'm like, fuck, I would have thought of that, or I wish I thought of it.
Yeah.
I never would have landed on that, and I never would have thought of it. So I'm like, good on you.
Dude, that's admirable, man, because I feel like you've had every single thought that could happen to someone, almost as an infection. I feel like you run around with like a library that someone is like spinning on a like an axis just at all times, you know?
Well, I'm not the Dewey Decimal System inside the kumquat here.
You seem like that, man. Like one moment it's periodicals and it's sports and it's world travels. And
it's a problem.
Fucking, then it's a bunch of kids doing art in the corner and then it's just, you know.
It's a problem. How did you describe my stand-up on your podcast? I meant to tell you, I think that's the greatest compliment I've ever received. I'm like a giant American car filled with gas.
Oh, filled with gas. I don't know.
Something. Oh, I got to go listen to it.
Nick, yeah. Do you remember?
No. Nick doesn't even know where he is. Nick wonders why we eat.
I got to piss, man.
I'm going to tell you this.
Want to take a piss break?
No, we're done. I'm gonna tell
we
you
are?
This. Yeah, I'm going to tell you this, man. The forest will provide. There's a book I read called Savage. The guy went and visited the Quito Indians in the rainforest because their land kept taken away. And this is for you, Theo, specifically, because you do have that like angst.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to have it. You'll die with it. It's yours. But he said that he could tell like which of the tribes got like bought out by oil companies because they'd be taking away the rainforest. But they'd have like a Newport T-shirt, shitty sunglasses from like the gas station, like a poncho.
Yeah.
That says like shit happens, yeah. Or like a hat that says damn seagulls with like fake bird shit on it, and like fucking the size of New Jersey gone because of that shit. And so they went to some meeting downriver. And they're in this Quonset hut, him and these Quito, Q-U-I-T-O Indians, and they ate jars of peanut butter and bread and bananas, and they just kept eating and eating, like six dudes, until they fucking puked and shit their eyes out. Then they came back in, they kept eating, and he's like, what the fuck? Relax. And they just kept eating until it was all gone. They were up, they didn't sleep.
Wow.
Ate, puke, and he goes, on the river, he says to the elder, he says, why don't they save some of that for later? And the elder doesn't look at him, he goes, the forest will provide, and he's in English. And he goes, no, but, I mean, they got sick. They violently threw up. They're tired. They should save it because then late. And the guy goes, the forest will provide. And then he goes to say it a third time. And the elder looks him in the eye and puts his hand on his chest. And he said he felt ice in his body. He felt generations. And he says, the forest will provide. And he realized he almost committed genocide by introducing doubt. They eat because it's fucking there. And if you're in the rainforest wondering, what if the forest doesn't provide, you're dead. Because the rainforest, as long as we've been talking about this story, I've been saying this story, something's actually grown over my foot. Yeah. It never stops. The forest will provide. And the author realized he almost committed fucking genocide. Like, there's no words in their language for save.
Right.
Or for late. There's no later. Mm. It's moment.
This is it.
And I'm telling you, the forest will provide, brother.
Yeah.
I swear by all flowers, you're all set. I can't wait to talk to you later about your little worksheet.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the worksheet. I appreciate it, man.
At the Auvon, nice words. I periscoped that out a little bit. By the way, that's a felony, putting a man in the yard.
It is?
Yeah, no. Are you fucking kidding me?
Burying that guy?
You can't.
I didn't bury him, dude.
No, not you.
I was walking by.
It is a felony. It's improper. What's
the it's illegal. No, they came and got him.
It's a felony.
No. The coroner and everything came and got him about a month later, and you know, took our second base. We were playing second base, but we were playing kickball back there, dude.
So who's the rat?
Huh?
Who was the rat?
I'm not sure. Probably somebody down the street. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Milford.
Bullshit. You know who the rat was. Milford's the one that you buried.
No.
Oh, Mr. Caputo.
Mr. Polito.
Milford's the drunk.
Milford's the drunk that beat him into the fire.
And that motherfucker came out of a fire swinging.
Yeah.
That is a Rival Sons tune, I think. Who do you want to be when you grow up? Not what. Who?
I don't know. Maybe when I grew up, maybe I'll like to be... You know that old man that's in Walking Dead that was in there in the beginning and then he gets killed?
Why would you be somebody that dies?
Well, you have to do that. But I just would be that man because he seemed like kind of like a man at peace. I just want to be peaceful. I want to be a father. That's
how about this? Be. You want to be a father?
I think so.
You can be whenever you want, you know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. You can't make a baby.
Oh, that's nerve-wracking, though. That's almost scary knowing that.
Everything's scary to you.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything frightens you.
Yeah.
So a child, okay, add it to the fucking list. What's next? You go up. The number one fear in the world is talking in front of strangers. Did you know that?
That's, yeah, I've heard that.
And you're slightly uncomfortable, but more at home there. We're fucked up. I know that. Buddy.
Yeah.
You're going to crack through this doorway you're in. I love it. I can't wait. Man, you
thanks,
and a,
man.
I can't wait.
I'm excited. Hey, I mean, I'm excited to be here right now, man. I really have had a cool day, and I appreciate this.
Theo Vaughn is he's firing me up, and I want you guys to go on his Twitter and just go follow him. Like, he's a cult leader. Disposal of human corpses is, okay, here's the penalty. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's on my website, jmoore.com. All my dates are up there, too. May 5th, Hollywood Improv. Hey, Warriors, remember you used to come to all my shows? What the hell happened?
Yeah.
Tickets are a little light in Florida.
Get them out.
Can we do Groupons? It's fucking Monday. It's Monday. I didn't even get there. You're asking me to hit my fucking pocket with the money. Stuttering fucking prick. No, I thought you said I'm a right spot. I'm not a right. That's my fucking money.
Did you go to University of Mississippi?
Get the fuck out of my house, man. Do I look like I took my SATs in crayon? Or
no, somebody said you went there one time. I heard that. It's a rumor going around about you.
That I went to school there?
Yeah.
That's a great rumor, but I don't really believe it's a rumor. Yeah. I think somebody just said it to you. I do say Ole Miss in my act.
There's like, some rumors out there, man. Next time I come, I'll bring the rumors I've heard about Jay
Moore. Look at all these rumors. Yeah. There's a rumor around.
Family talking. Yeah, talking about every day. We used to dance to that at summer camp.
Ole Miss is cheaper than my son's first grade private school is going to be, so that's what my son's in public. I'm like, yeah, I have 16 grand to get to Ole Miss, take my SATs with a fucking Sharpie.
This credit should transfer.
Ole Miss, there's good Bo Wallace, there's bad Bo Wallace. You don't know what Bo you're going to get, man. Good Bo, you ride good Bo through the center of the sun now. But bad Bo, you bury him with Mr. fucking Caputo. I love you,
I almost
buddy.
Went to a party with Eli. I went to a party at Eli Manning's one time. And went.
Did you say Eli Manning's?
Eli Manning's, yeah. And I almost met Peyton at that party. But I
want to know every person you almost met in your life. And I want to know everybody. I want to know everyone that's unbeknownst. You've done cocaine unbeknownst to them. Theo Vaughn, I love you. Put your name on it, friends. Put your name on it. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
I never meant to call you any sorrow. Never meant to cause you any pain. I don't want to watch that Nancy laughing.